Believe me, I have tried to find some way to get out from doing this. It's awesome to be here. It's awesome to be here with you. And God bless you all this morning. I almost feel like I need to make an apology to the elder team. I mean, I know they would probably say no need, but it's taken me forever to put this message together. And you'll see how long as I go through this. But to me, this is more than just a message for a Sunday morning. God showed me it's a way of life, and you'll see what I mean. So the purpose of this message is to display the love and saving grace of the Lord. It's part testimony and all glory to Him. And I also want to say that, you know, I'm not an expert on the subject that I'm going to be talking about this morning, but just a work in progress, you know, as we all are if we allow God to work in our life. Amen? So for those of you who don't know, we support a missionary. His name is Fount Schultz. And when he preached here last, he said something that I felt the weight of the words, it was like a wave hit me. He said, "The pure in heart are those who use the offenses of others to find something in themselves." And then I realized, we don't have to do that. We could be a bunch of touchy, sensitive, and offended Christians. That we can do. But we need to know the truth. If we do that, it will affect our heart. I spent a lot of time meditating on this. On what Fultz had said that day, and I bet you I didn't hear another word he said through the rest of that message. And the words, they just kept taking my focus. It was like out of my control, and I remember when, and this was like a long time later, I remember asking God, why did that impact me so much? What were you trying to say? And I heard these words from Matthew 5:8. God said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And then I felt the weight of those words, and it hit me like a wave again. And to be clear, I'm not saying that this says that we're going to come face to face with the Lord our God, but what I believe it's saying is that we would see the blessings of God in our life. And who wouldn't want that? So this morning, that's what I'm going to be talking about, the heart. Mainly the attitudes of the heart. I believe that the message of the church in these end times is clear. We need to be about the Father's business, and that means praying in the name of Jesus that God would change the hearts of His people. That things would be revealed that would draw them closer to Him. And, you know, I truly believe that this is probably one of the most important messages that I think I've ever put together, and why it's taken so long. And I don't believe it's important for my words, but I believe it's important for the heart behind the words, His heart. And it's my prayer that my words do His heart justice. See, I'm one of those people who are willing to believe what the Word of God says. And He didn't put us on this earth just to survive. Because Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors. Right? And so, believe it or not, church, there are attitudes in our heart that need conquering, or they will affect our walk. So I remember when God first said, "I want you to speak on the heart." This is almost a year ago. And I said, "No, I'm not going to do it." I'm just being honest. because I knew that through some of my life's experiences that there are things that have caused my heart to not be nice. Is that okay, Pastor? And these things I've suppressed over the years, I pressed them down deep. And so I know I didn't want to bring those things back up, but God said to me, it's not how you get set free. So he persisted and he wouldn't let it go. Still, I kept going back and forth on whether or not I was going to finish this as a message or if I was going to start looking for another message to do. And then a few things happened. Last April, during the Destiny conference that we had here, the main speaker, Brian Hume, he prayed for me at the end of service. And he kept saying to me, you're a man of the heart. You're a man of the heart. And I kept saying, can you say something else, please? And this was during the time I had the greatest amount of conflict about doing this. And then the next Sunday, my brother preached a message about the importance of not floundering. I said, okay, God, I don't want a 2x4 across the head next. A month passes, I'm starting to struggle again. I can't focus on this. I'm trying to find something else to do. Pastor preached a message called Holding Your Position. And then on the men's retreat, Brother Fount, he was talking about heart attitudes. So, you know, it was obvious that God wanted me to finish this because he knows how influential the heart is in our walk with him. Just look at Paul, or David, or John. Now, I use men as examples in this message because this was going to be my men's retreat message. But there was no way I was going to have it done by then. So as I said, this started about a year ago, and it all began as I was reading in Hebrews 4, and I came to verse 12, and we all know what it starts by saying, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divide of soul and spirit. But it's the end of this verse that became rhema to me, where the words literally jumped off the page and they stuck to me and I couldn't let it go. And it's also the title of my message. And it also says another thing that the Word of God does. The Word of God exposes and judges the thoughts and purposes of the heart. I spent a lot of time looking at this scripture, and I read it over and over in different translations, and I came to understand that the heart has a mind of its own. And it has desires or purposes of its own that, for the most part, we really have no control over. Or do we? For example, I've done and said things at times, both good and bad, that I never gave a thought in my head to and wondered, where did that come from? I now see it came out of what was in the heart. So we need to be careful. And then I began to question, I think this is where I struggled the most and why this has taken so long. I started to question, is the only time I can trust what's in my heart is when I'm worshiping the Lord? And I mean truly worshiping. See, we can hide things from each other, at least for a while. That's not hard. But we cannot hide anything from God. In 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord told Samuel, people see the outward appearance of man, but God looks at the heart. Church, what is God seeing in us this morning? And if we're honest with ourselves, Would we want it to be exposed? See, I can assure you that there can be things in there that we are completely unaware of. Yeah, it's possible. Another missionary that we have preach here at times, Brother Andrew, he calls those things blind spots, and he says we all have them. I want to drive out those blind spots. There's a Selena Gomez song that says the heart just wants what it wants. And we have to know that there are some desires, thoughts, and purposes of the heart that can walk us into God's will for our life, and there are some that can derail the work of God in our life. Things can creep into the heart through life experiences or interacting with difficult people or feelings of injustice, whatever. These things, they cause us to act out if they're not dealt with. And I say this is part testimony because what God did with me was to start to deal with those things. See, I thought if I just kept those things pressed down and ignored them, I'm fine. But God showed me I'm not fine. Now, Jesus told parables, told a lot of them. And I believe most of them were speaking directly and some indirectly to expose the heart of his listeners and to get their heart on the right path. For example, you have the parable of the sower from Matthew 13, beginning in verse 3. I noticed that Kim used that same parable in her message last week. God is obviously speaking. If you don't know that parable, get familiar with it. So this parable talks about seed scattered over different types of soil. But then Jesus clarifies the meaning of that to be that the different types of soil describe the different thoughts and purposes or attitudes or conditions of the heart. So I want to give you just a couple of personal examples of how things can be in the heart that we can be unaware of. There was a time several years ago when I visited a customer in Georgia. And this customer was a Christian man, loved the Lord, and we were able to have a conversation about the Lord, and that's rare in business. But his building was the dingiest building in that whole industrial park. And I remembered as I was leaving, he asked if I would pray for his business to grow, and my first thought was getting out of here is going to help. And when I went to God and prayed for this man's business to grow, I kept saying, God, you have to do something for this man. How can he reach out to others and even get more business if he brings people to that building? I mean, it's that bad. It was the dingiest one, and I think there were even holes in the roof. In my mind, I was justifying my prayers in the way I prayed based on my natural desire to see him blessed. I'll get into that a little more. Another example, I'm having dinner one night with a coworker and a bunch of our friends. Now, whenever we got into conversations, no matter what the topic was, this guy would jump in and tell a similar story. I mean, it didn't matter what the subject was. He always had a comeback story. Exact same situation that it's either him or one of his relatives had happened to them. So, you know, every time he started talking, we were all, I don't know if he actually saw it, but the rest of the people at the table would just roll their eyes, you know. And one particular time, I remember I interrupted him and told him that I had a cousin jump off a bridge. Now, obviously, that's not true. I just wanted to see if I could stump him. Without missing a beat, he had a cousin jump off a bridge, and he started telling the story. Now, in my mind, I was just busting on. I was just giving him a hard time, and then I realized that I began to interrupt him every single time he told a story by asking a bunch of questions, and then I'd kind of like sit back with this huge grin on my face and watch him fumble for answers. So, you know, thanks to God's grace, he exposed two thoughts and purposes or attitudes in my heart, and then he gave me his word related to them. So the first thing he exposed was a foolish heart. And in Romans 1:21 in the Amplified, it says, even though they know God, they do not honor him as God or give thanks. Their foolish hearts are darkened. So my arguing with God about that guy and his business being the worst looking building in that whole industrial park exposed me. God set me straight in a big way. He helped me see that this guy had no problem with his startup business and was praising God for what he had and believed God was taking him places. God gently said to me, why are you complaining about something this guy is completely satisfied with and praising me for? I honestly thought that my prayers were from good intentions. But I see now it was from a foolish heart, because I never once thanked God for what he did have. And then God reminded me of the verse in Zechariah 4:10. In the NIV version, it says, who dares despise the day of small things? I believe that one answer would be he who has a foolish heart. And trust me when I tell you, I had no idea that was in there, but for the Lord. The second heart attitude that God exposed was a proud heart. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Now, this should have been an obvious one, right? Blind spot. I thought I was just giving him a hard time. So the Lord showed me that each time I interrupted my coworker from telling yet another story nobody believed was real anyways, I'd sit there with this huge grin on my face. And again, I just want to say, in my mind, I thought I was just giving him a hard time. But the Lord showed me that the purpose in my heart was to expose him as a liar. And I was obviously proud of that. I had a pretty high opinion of myself. And then the Lord reminded me of what it says in 1 Peter 4:8. And I looked this up, and every translation says the same thing. Love covers. It doesn't expose. Which made me see how wrong I had been in all this. Then the Lord prompted me to read 1 Corinthians 13, the love scripture. And I got even more conviction of how wrong I had been, not just in that, but so many other things. And then I saw how it related to this situation with my coworker. I was defending the way I acted, rather than see the truth of what he was exposing that was in my heart. I'll tell you what. When God begins to help you see a person like he sees them or how he sees them, it's very humbling. When God exposes, he does it out of love to set the heart on the right course. And this is important. He exposes us to ourselves. He doesn't expose us to other people. Now, I suppose that might be different in a marriage situation, but Joyce Meyer, she wrote a book called The Battlefield of the Mind. And then I think about what it says in Proverbs 23:7 in the King James Version. It says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Or you could say, as he thinketh into his heart. See, what I believe, that what the scripture says is that the battlefield of the mind can become the battlefield of the heart. And when it gets in there, only God can give you any victory. Things get in there. So what I want to share this morning is the process that God brought me through this last year that was very important. Again, you know, I'm still just a work in process. I'm not the expert. but I'm not fully there, but I'm learning, and I thank God. I mean, if any of you can relate to what I'm saying this morning, then, you know, be of good cheer, because God always provides a solution. The more I dug into understanding all this, I remember God telling me years ago that I need him to test my heart on a regular basis. This is what keeps us on track as long as we follow his leading. And I had no idea this was scriptural, but David did this in Psalm 26:2. David said, examine me, O Lord, test my heart. And then I realized over the last year, it's been years since I've done that. No wonder why those things that I shared got in there. So David asked God to test his heart. Church, I believe that when David wasn't doing this, that's when he got into trouble. So I began to ask God to test my heart. Now, I will say my heart, to me, seems like it's in a better place. Not perfect, but better. And a lot of ugliness has come to the surface during these last several months especially, and it's been tough to deal with. I said that I believe that this message is one of the most important I've ever put together, mainly because I know if somebody is sick in their heart spiritually, they are or can be sick in the body naturally. As part of our healing room training, we know that there's a direct relation. Since we know that there may be some things in there that maybe we don't want to expose to other people, I have a question. Do you believe that God would say, don't let that stop you from coming to me alone and getting it dealt with? Does that sound like something God would say? Well, that's exactly what he said to me. He said, it's best to let me deal with those things in your heart privately, just between you and me, rather than allow your mouth to reveal the heart publicly in a way that would hurt somebody or completely blow your witness. And I asked, is that scriptural? I mean, I don't even know why I asked that question, because God is always looking to have a personal, intimate relationship with his kids, right? Yet, as I've heard Pastor say before, God, show me in your word. And he brought me to Proverbs 3:32. In the Amplified, it says, for the devious are repulsive to the Lord, but his private counsel is with the upright. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm upright or anything like that. But just his private counsel. I study the Amplified. He showed me this in the Amplified, and I don't believe, I tried finding that private counsel in any other versions of Proverbs 3:32, and I couldn't find anything that was the same. And then I also found Psalm 32:5 in the Amplified. David said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, continually unfolding the past until all is told. That's where I'm at. I'm going to continually unfold the past until all is told. And then he says, then you instantly forgave me the guilt and iniquity of my sin. Those bad heart attitudes, church, are sin. Now, have there been attitudes in my heart worse than the two examples I used earlier? Absolutely. That's where God began to open up my understanding of all this and what I'm talking about today. And there may be some who say, well, Joe, you're an elder in the church. How can that stuff be in your heart? Yes, I am an elder in the church. And I want to be the best example of a Christian I can be. I want to be the best example of a godly man that I can be. but I'm not perfect, and I never will be. And that's why I am so grateful for a holy God and a sinless Jesus who did not judge me. As these heart attitudes come up, they just pour their love and grace out on me. And I'm grateful that I am this work in progress and for this beginning of a greater testimony. So I had a recent revelation, and this is a testament of God's secret counsel. Debbie's been telling me for the longest time I'm a crabby guy. I said, okay, I took that to the Lord. Lord, why have I been a crabby guy? And the answer I got was one I didn't expect. He said, you have unforgiveness towards your father for an injustice you suffered as a child. Now, there were many, but as he said that, I saw an image of myself kneeling in the corner as a kid. And then I remembered that was one of my father's favorite punishments. He would have us kneel down, say, I want your nose touching the wall. And then he'd go to bed and leave us like that all night. He'd wake up the next day and say, okay, you can either get ready for school, or if it was the weekend, you can go to bed now. Then I remembered I'd been having pain in my knees during that time. And I was obviously blaming him for that. If I'd been asked why I was crabby before this revelation, I'd say, I don't know. It's one of those things that I've pressed so deep inside, but it affected the way I acted. And I felt weird for quite a while after this came out, and it brought up some ugliness too, and I'm telling you, I want to be free from this stuff. And who knows how many other things are hidden deep inside like that. Trust me. As God was revealing those things, I wanted to sweep them back under the rug and act like they never happened and just ignore them. It's what I've been doing my whole life. But God said that is not the way to be set free. So once I asked God to test my heart, he wouldn't let go of it. And I thank God he wouldn't. When we ask, isn't it good to know that we have Jesus, that great intercessor who is always going to the Father on our behalf? That's what Hebrews 7:25 says. Always or continually going to the Father on our behalf. If not for him, we would have nothing of any value. But because of our faith in him, we have everything. And that includes a pure heart. Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, says, guard your heart above everything else, because out of it flows the springs of life. If our heart is in a bad place, out of it flows nothing good, and certainly not life. If you knew my life story, then you'd understand why I had those bad heart attitudes. But I remember Joyce Meyer once saying, it doesn't give us a right to stay that way. And if anybody knows her story, she was very seriously abused as a child. And I thought, if she can think of life that way, then so shouldn't I. I believe if we ask God to test our hearts on a regular basis, that we are guarding it against anything that can sneak in there and affect our walk. Like I said earlier, we can hide what's in our heart from other people. That's not difficult, at least for a while. But nothing is hidden from God. Hebrews 4:13 says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him. I'm grateful that God began the work in my heart and took me through the difficult time that followed my asking him to test it, because as soon as I did, I felt the presence of God surround me. This just reinforces our need for Jesus in our life to heal and restore our heart and ultimately our body. Praise you, Jesus. What causes us to turn our backs on a brother or sister in need? What causes us to make a promise to someone and not follow through with it? What causes us to miss out on God's will for our life? The thoughts and purposes or attitudes of the heart. So to get us on the right track and keep us on the right track, here are a few things that I've identified that are vital to our spiritual health pertaining to the heart. As I already said, number one, we need to ask God to test our heart regularly, like David in Psalm 26:2. And when he reveals those sinful heart attitudes, the second thing we need to do is we need to repent of our bad heart attitudes. Because you know what? Once we're aware of them, we become responsible for them. Joel 2, verses 12 and 13 says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love." Ask God to test our heart. Repent of those bad heart attitudes. And the third thing is, pray a cleansing prayer over our hearts regularly. Like David did in Psalm 51:10, he said, "Create in me a clean heart." That was his cleansing prayer. There are attitudes in our heart that can creep in there. Praying the blood of Jesus over our heart will cleanse it from the sin that was in it. That's why I say this is more than just a message for a Sunday morning. I believe this is a lifestyle. If we do these things, what would the condition of our heart be? Can anything creep in there? Could anything sneak in there? I believe that if we do this, that we will experience a closeness with God that we all desire. Again, I felt the presence of God like I haven't felt to that level in a long time. I felt revival in my heart. And if we want to see revival come to our lives, our homes, our relationships, it starts in the heart. And I'm going to close. Church, what kind of heart is God looking for? I think Rich did a great job in the opening this morning to talk about the different ways that we need to approach God with a whole heart. God is looking for all in. Sold out, on fire. That's tough to do if we got things hiding in there. I want a pure heart. I want to be able to trust what's in my heart, and I want to continue to see the blessings of God in my life. I hope to encourage you this morning to spend some time with him. Ask him to test your heart, then see what he reveals to you, and then follow his lead. Let a clean heart be your guide. Don't let those bad heart desires or bad heart attitudes decide for you which direction you will take, but let's fulfill God's will for our lives. This is something interesting that God had shown me, that there are forms of heart disease that are called the silent killer. And spiritual heart disease can be called the same thing. It quietly kills faith and affects our relationship with God because it causes us to stray from the closeness we desperately need. Let God get into that heart today so that God can do only what only God can do. And keep a humble heart that will always acknowledge God's sovereign will over your life. And he will honor you for it. So praise God, church, because I believe he is touching and restoring hearts today. Amen? You know, even if you don't think you need this, if you're sitting there saying, well, that's not me, I dare you to ask God to test your heart. Pastor said in his message around Christmas, his everlasting way, he said, if we ask God for anything with true sincerity, something will change. And God helped me to see that if we're trying to change these heart attitudes, if we're trying to do it in the flesh, meaning on our own, we're wasting our time. Give those things to God because only he can bring the change. Again, I want a pure heart. I want to be able to trust what's in there, and I'm going to allow God to continue to do the work in me to get me there. As Kib said in her message last week, let's bear fruit. So, I want to thank you all for hearing God's heart today. And God bless you all. Amen.